Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure that you read through the back of the bulletin with all the announcements and the different things that are going on up here at the church and in the community. Just a couple of things to highlight. One is the Lenten service. We do have each Wednesday morning during Lent at 10 o'clock in the morning, we have a Lenten worship service over in the chapel in the educational building. And then in the evenings, we're doing the Lenten rotational, and the schedule for that is 6 o'clock meal, 7 o'clock worship, and this week we are at First Methodist Church here in town. And also, too, I want to let you know that in our prayers today, we remember the family of Guy Nobles. Guy Nobles passed away just this morning, and so funeral services are pending for him. Are there other announcements? Yes, Lori.
Good morning. I just want to remind all of my FFF kids and families, if they'd like to walk with us, we'll actually get to move out of the parking lot somewhere else this time. So if you could be there by 5:45, we can get to First Methodist in time to eat, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Are there other announcements? Anybody else? Okay. Then I invite you to rise as we begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, O Savior, Precious Savior.
Thank you.
congregation may be seated. And y'all are asked to follow along with Holy Baptism. It is in your green hymnal, page 121. And that's page in the front of the book, not the hymn numbers, but page 121. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with Him and with His people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Sponsors.
I present Christopher to receive the sacrament of holy baptism. I present Caleb to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented these children for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring them to the services of God's house and teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As they grow in years, you should place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for their instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of their baptism and in communion with the church, they may lead godly lives until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations?
I do.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that those who are here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of all those who are cleansed by this water and bring them forth as inheritors of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Christopher Wayne Mueller, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Christopher, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Christopher, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Kaylin Imogene Miller, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin, and for raising them up to a new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Caleb, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence. Caleb, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of these children. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism so that they may share eternally with their children the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new sister and brother members of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. Peace be with you. Okay, and I think we have a few gifts this morning. Y'all come.
On behalf of Cradle Workshop here at St. Paul Lutheran Church, we would like to present Kaylin with this blanket and Christopher with this blanket. May each stitch remind you of the love that God has for his children, and blessings to both of you.
This one here is Christopher's.
One more hand, right? On behalf of the women of St. Paul Lutheran, we would like to present Kaylin and Christopher with their first Bible. As they grow in years, teach them God's word to carry with them throughout their lifetime. God bless them.
You all right if I carry it? See if I can do this. All right, we've got our newest members.
Now,
Y'all can be seated then. We continue with the prayer of the day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Eternal Lord, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, so that we become instruments of your redeeming love through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 19. It will read it responsively. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
One day he tells his plans to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound is gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world.
In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs back to the end of it again.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and it gives wisdom to the innocent. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever.
The
The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins, and let them not get domain over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of great offense. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and the Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and the foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than the human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe see. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This story in the gospel lesson today is a story unlike any others that we see about Jesus. I don't know of any other story where Jesus seems to be so full of emotion or outrage, anger within here. It seems like Jesus is out of character. He had gone up to the temple, and in the courtyard he saw all the animals that were being sold and bought for sacrifice, and he saw the people making, changing money, and it just seems like he lost it. And he went in there, rushed in there, made a whip out of some of the decorative cords and herded all the animals out, chased them out. You can just imagine all the chaos that was going on. People just shocked and amazed. How can somebody do this? Why is he doing this? What's going on? And I guess that's a question we need to ask as well then too. What's going on here? This seems out of character for Jesus. Usually in the stories of Jesus, we see that side of Jesus that he shows his compassion. Or even when he's confronted with the scribes and the Pharisees and the others who are trying to entrap him, he has a cool head. And this just seems so much out of character. What triggered Jesus? What made him so angry? What made him so outraged? That was going on here in the marketplace. It's interesting to note, we are reading out of John's gospel this morning, and John puts this story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. At this point, Jesus had not had a confrontation with anybody. People were still talking about the amazing changing the water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. Word was starting to buzz about this traveling preacher who is going around and helping people and having compassion for other people. So the scribes, the Pharisees, religious leaders are still scratching their head on this. They have not started any kind of attacks on Jesus. So, you know, Jesus at this point is not necessarily angry at scribes and Pharisees. Matthew, Mark, and Luke put this story at the very end of their gospel. It's in what we know as Holy Week, after Jesus makes that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so they put it in different places, this story in different places in these different gospels, but then at that point you can kind of understand that Jesus has had a lot of confrontations with scribes and Pharisees and chief priests and all those, that maybe, you know, that frustration is just starting to build, but here in John's gospel it is not. And yet we see this outrage that Jesus has here. So what's going on? When Jesus does this, somebody questions it. You know, somebody is either asking, what in the world are you doing, with out of anger themselves? Are they asking? Maybe they're still talking about or thinking about Jesus turning water into wine, and they're saying, what sign can you show for doing this? Maybe some sort of compassion. And he says, tear this temple down, and with 3 days I will rebuild it. Jesus points to his ministry. Jesus points to what is the most important part of Jesus' life? The dying on the cross and the being raised again on the third day. I think what makes Jesus so angry here, what has him so outraged, is that people have lost the focus of who they are and what they are supposed to be doing. The Hebrew people, or the Jewish people, in their worship had many laws, and they were law-oriented. They had to follow the law. And along with those laws came the rituals. And part of those rituals were the sacrifice. And it's spelled out in the Old Testament of how you are supposed to sacrifice, when you're supposed to sacrifice, and what you can do and how you do it all the way through. And so you had to follow these laws, these rules, these rituals to go through here. Well, this was the time of Passover. And so Jerusalem, during the time of Passover, would probably swell 2 to 3 times their normal population. So you had pilgrims coming in from everywhere into Jerusalem during this time. It was crowded, it was noisy, it was bustling, people everywhere, but they did come to celebrate that Passover feast. And part of that then is travelers coming wanted to come to Jerusalem. I think it was the goal of just about every Hebrew person to make it at least one time in your life to Jerusalem during Passover. And so they did travel for many miles. Some were local, and some traveled for many, many miles. And part of that of coming to Jerusalem then is to sacrifice, to bring a sacrifice in the temple, in the main place of worship for this religion. To bring a sacrifice. Well, if you're traveling 200-300 miles away on foot, or maybe even further than that, you think about the whole Middle East and probably North Africa as well then too. Jews were scattered around. To try to herd animals all the way to Jerusalem would have been very hard. And the animals used for sacrifice were supposed to be perfect animals. Animals without spot or blemish. And so weren't these people here in this temple square just providing a service? These temple workers were just providing a service for all these pilgrims coming in so that they could make their sacrifices according to the law. That way they didn't have to haul in all these animals. They didn't have to herd them for hundreds of miles. They could just simply pick up an animal here in the temple courtyard and offer it then for a sacrifice. So the animals were being sold, they were being bought. I think sometimes they would even turn the animals around that you could buy an animal for sacrifice, but the animal wasn't sacrificed right then. It was turned around and sold once more, or maybe several times, rotated, which made sense because then otherwise you would have constant fires. You would have constant animals being sacrificed at one time, but at this way... it was conservative, basically, to say, economical. And so, you know, and it became a business. It became a business. Also, too, then, the money changers, you were also required to pay a temple tax, but you could not use the Roman coins, which were the normal currency at that time. You couldn't use the Roman coins because they had a picture of Caesar on them. And so that would be a graven image. You had to have temple coins, which would be appropriate, that could be allowed into the temple for your offering. So the money was being exchanged at the money changer tables. Now people look at these stories and they think, you know, we shouldn't be talking about money in church. Or some people think about the fundraisers or the different things that go on in church to help raise funds for like youth or maybe for projects outside of the church. And they say, we're not supposed to be doing this at church. And they cite these stories. But to make this story for those kind of arguments is missing the point. It's just simply missing the point. The main thing, I think, that got Jesus upset, it wasn't helping other people or helping pilgrims. But what made them upset was that they were so focused on the rituals and upon the laws that they completely lost sight of God. Jesus' whole mission in life was to help proclaim the kingdom of God, to bring people's focus back to God, of who he was, a forgiving God, a gracious God, a loving God, a God full of mercy, a God who loves his people, to get people to turn from their ways and focus back on God. And here, in the center of their worship, they're not focusing on God. They're focusing upon their rituals. They're focusing upon their sacrifices. They're focusing upon the law. And they're forgetting about God and who God was. I'm sure Jesus got a lot of attention by doing this. People were absolutely shocked. They were amazed that somebody would have the audacity to upset the money changers' tables, chase the animals out, make such a commotion, chaos, particularly in this time of Passover when there are so many people here and where the Roman soldiers are on heightened alert for any kind of trouble. Jesus certainly knows how to make a commotion. but he makes a commotion to point us back to God. Now, I know within our own church, and with many churches, just about every church has some sort of rituals that we go through. I mean, this morning we had baptism. We'll have Holy Communion a little bit later. We have our liturgy within the bulletin. But all of this does something. This is all, we do this in order to help us focus upon God. There are several things why we have rituals within the church. One is it's comforting for us. We know what to expect in worship. Yes, worship changes from week to week to a certain extent. You have different readings, different hymns. Maybe the service order is a little bit different, but we are familiar with this. This is a familiar place. These are familiar words that we do say, or that we read through, or that we sing. And that brings us comfort. In this chaotic world, where the world's going crazy, we have one place where we can gather on a Sunday morning or a Saturday evening and give worship to God and know that God is looking down upon us. We can feel that peace from God as we come into worship. Another thing that these rituals do for us is it helps us to focus upon Scripture, because all of these things that we do here on Sunday morning are based upon Scripture. Many of these parts of the liturgy are Scripture passages. The hymns are scripturally based. The prayers that we say focus upon those things that God calls us to do. It is all scripturally based. So it reminds us, we hear God's word in everything that we do here on Sunday mornings. Another thing of what our rituals do within our church is to keep us from committing the same heresies that have been done over and over and over again. These are issues that have been settled centuries ago. And so as we hold on to this pattern, we are reminded that, you know, when we hear heresies, when we hear things that aren't true, are wrong beliefs about God, that we know what God intends for us as we go through these rituals, particularly as we say the creed. This is what we believe. This is what the church teaches. This creed is based out of our baptismal learning. And so it helps keep us true in our faith. But the rituals are just that. They are just rituals. We don't worship the rituals. That's not our main focus as we come to worship. Our focus is God. But these rituals that we go through help us to believe in God, help us to understand God, and help us to focus our thoughts upon who Jesus Christ is, and God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. During the season of Lent, and again, the seasons of the church year are another part of those rituals, but the season of Lent helps us to focus upon that cross and that resurrection of Jesus Christ. Helps us to focus upon what Christ has done. His mission as he came to this earth was to proclaim the kingdom of God and to bring salvation to us. And that's what we focus upon during Lent. Of that Christ bringing his salvation to us, taking our sins upon himself, dying upon the cross, rising again, giving us the promise of new life. Christ does drastic things. We don't always know what God's going to do. We don't know what God's going to do in our lives. We don't know what God's going to do surrounding this world. We just simply have faith, knowing that God is a loving, gracious God, full of mercy, compassion, and that Christ has come to save us. And so as Christ goes to the cross, he also calls to us as well, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Go to Dark Gethsemane.
Thank you.
Please rise for the prayers. Let us humbly beseech God for his mercy upon the church, the world, and one another. Cleanse and purify your church. Make it a house of prayer for all people. Give it leaders who preach and teach faithfully and whose lives reflect the gospel with holiness. Use it to draw all people to yourself. Lord, in your mercy. Give the members of this congregation Jesus' own zeal for your house. Grant that we worship you joyfully, care for one another compassionately, and proclaim your word boldly. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for parents, foster parents, and everyone who cares for your little ones. Fill them with your spirit. Equip them to teach their children your commandments and bring them to your house, there to receive your life-giving word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the rulers of all nations to seek your will and give them the strength to do it. Give them wisdom, prudence, and integrity. Teach us all to live by your commandments and grant us your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Guide and strengthen all who stand between us and the threatening dangers of this fallen world. We thank you for their labors and pray for their safety. Prosper all they do that helps to establish justice, health, peace, and unity. Lord, in your mercy. You are the strength of all who suffer and the joy of all who grieve. Be present with your merciful care to all whose need is great, including Byron Kramer, Lynn Magura, Pastor Craig Sturm, and the families of Guy Nobles and Mary Intacenti. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, into your hands we commend our beloved dead. Comfort all who grieve. Keep our feet in the path of your commandments, our hearts fixed on your forgiving love, and our eyes focused on the cross of Christ. Bring us safely into your welcoming embrace and eternal home. Lord, in your mercy. For these things and for whatever else is needful, dear Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Thank you.
Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his. Through the same, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give to you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.